I mention Tyndale today because he is in many ways rather forgotten. And yet his scholarship and his courage, his very determined faith, has been hugely influential and has a very strong legacy, not least in the famous and still much loved King James Bible, which was published only 75 years later in 1611. Although Tyndale doesn't get a mention in the King James Bible, it's estimated that 93% of the King James New Testament is cribbed directly from Tyndale's words. Likewise, more than 85% of 5 key books in the Old Testament are also Tyndale's work. He chose words as he translated that testament that were often monosyllabic. They were punchy. He wanted them to be easy to remember for the illiterate who now heard the gospel stories in their own language. He wanted them to remember it, so he chose language that they could grasp. And if you're wondering what sort of words he chose, well, here are just a few and you will know them. Such is his legacy. See the writing on the wall. Cast the first stone. The salt of the earth. A thorn in the flesh. Fight the good fight. From strength to strength. The blind lead the blind. Sick unto death. Broken hearted. Clear eyed. The powers that be. And then, of course, the Lord's Prayer that we know, and the Beatitudes, whose rhythms still translate their truths. So this anniversary of the Reformation can, and rightly, focus mainly on Luther, and for very good reasons. But let's not forget William Tyndale, the man who gave us the scriptures in our language and co-created, really, modern English in the process. We are those who benefit from his deepest belief that, in his words, the sun itself is not more common and open to all than the teaching of Jesus Christ. And that those words, which will never pass away, must be available and free to all who are searching. I started with Richard Charters, and then en route we met Bishop Cuthbert Tunstall, book burner extraordinaire. And so finally, it leads me on to the next Bishop of London, for whom we all wait. And whoever it turns out to be will also have the legacy of Tyndale to live with in trying to keep his flock together in love. Because, of course, as the Bible becomes accessible, so the interpretation of it becomes disputed. And as you know, nothing perhaps divides Christians so much as their different approaches to the Bible. This can range from those who see it as the completely inerrant, inspired Word of God, factually and historically to be read literally, to those, like me perhaps, who think that such fundamentalism is to Christianity what paint by numbers is to art, and that the Bible is a majestic, confusing, sometimes challenging, often comforting collage of a faltering but true voice to the reality and mystery of God. Its glory is that it doesn't always answer our questions, but it does question our answers, and it reminds us not to make God just a bigger version of ourselves, always keeping the odd in God. When I was here as a curate, and I know still now, churches such as this always take the Bible seriously by taking the questions it raises seriously, by honesty of thought, by being true to our experiences as 21st century people. And long may that continue as your tribute to Tyndale, who reminded his people, by the way, that Christ is with us until the world's end. Let his little flock be bold, therefore. 2 final thoughts on this Bible Sunday. The first is that ultimately the Bible is not there so much to be informative as formative, as St. Paul was just reminding us. Those who read the scriptures should be translated themselves. The great gift of God to you is your being. Your gift back to God is your becoming, who you become as a human being. And the Bible is there to help tune yourself to heaven's humility and not to feel good about getting everything right. It is heart knowledge, wisdom, and it often distills us by difficulty. And in this world, quite frankly, where at the moment it seems that if you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu, we need this distillation and scrutiny of ourselves very much. The second thought is one passed on by an early church theologian who said that when we read the Bible as Christians, and it's often better to do that together rather than alone, we ought not to hammer to death a word or phrase, but to treat the whole, he said, like a letter from a friend. You have to read the love between the lines. And if, he said, someone is interpreting the scriptures to you and you can't hear the love between the lines, it's not a good interpretation. That's why Tyndall must have the final word. William Tyndall, exiled, tormented, ridiculed, imprisoned, incinerated for the words that we can take so for granted. Tyndall sought to translate the gospel hope still into his life. They tried to bury him and they forgot he was a seed. He wrote this: Evangelion, that we call the gospel, is a Greek word and signifieth good, merry, glad, joyful tidings that maketh a man's heart glad and maketh him sing and dance and leap for joy. Be assured, little flock, be assured. May he dance and leap in that joy now, in the presence of our God forever. Amen.